from OETA, Oklahoma's home for public television.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Oklahoma News Report podcast. I'm in-depth producer Rory Taylor. Each week, our in-depth segment dives into a timely topic with a handful of knowledgeable panelists. And 2022 promises to be another year chock full of breaking news and unexpected developments. It's always fun and informative to gather a trio of experts together and ask them to take their best shot at predicting the big Oklahoma stories we'll be reporting on during the next 12 months. Moderating our in-depth conversation, here's Susan Caddo and her special panel of guests.
And we have much to cover, so I want to jump right in and introduce our panel to everybody. First, we have Scott Mitchell, who is an Oklahoma political analyst, was our first guest on our very first in-depth and has helped OETA with election night coverage. We're glad to have him with us again. Dr. Joe Siano is the Associate Executive Director of the Oklahoma State School Board Association and was a former intendant, a superintendent of Norman Public Schools. And finally, we have Dr. Aaron Wendelbo, who is an infectious disease epidemiologist at the OU Hudson College of Public Health. He is also a member of the Healthier Oklahoma Coalition with the Oklahoma State Medical Association. Lots of credentials all the way around. Thank all of you for being with us. Well, Dr. Wendelbo, we're going to begin with you. COVID has, of course, defined the last year, even the last 2 years. And now we're staring down January with a surge in Omicron. What do you see is happening? Is this going to be a big concern? Is it going to be
a
long-lasting concern, not only for Oklahoma, but for the nation? What are you hearing?
I believe COVID and Omicron and new variants will be with us. So I want to emphasize that there will be a continued need to take some precautions, to use some wisdom, and to use good judgment. But there's another side of that response, which is because COVID is going to be with us long-term, I do not see what I would say like an off-ramp. I don't see it getting us reaching a certain milestone in the near future. So from that perspective, I also urge Oklahomans to not put off living their life anymore. Consider how you can move forward with the ups and downs of COVID and have those relationships with your loved ones and your friends in this new normal.
Do you see new, more treatment coming down the pike for to help control spread of the variants that might come? Really,
Omicron,
it's actually, you don't know what's gonna happen, what variant might come down after Omicron.
You know, ever since COVID hit, I've been asked to make a lot of projections. Most of the focus has been on transmission dynamic modeling, but incorporating the emergence of these variants has been the most tricky aspect of it. And so really just looking at the emergence of previous variants, we're thinking that maybe every 4 to 6 months, we're going to be dealing with a new variant. Regarding your question of treatments, I do think that treatment will continue to get better. We're starting to get some outpatient medications that are available. The extent to which that's going to prevent the spread, as a public health professional, I would not rely necessarily on those tools. I really think it's back to the bread and butter of just people getting tested, isolating, quarantining when appropriate, and really, you know, the vaccine continues to be the most important thing that people can do. And then masking, again, in appropriate settings.
Dr. Siano, after hearing everything that Dr. Wendelbo just said, is this a very fine line to walk in the world of education for Oklahoma? What can parents, teachers, students expect moving into a brand new 2022?
Schools are beginning to embrace that process. Look, we know that the best place for students is in the classroom with their teachers every day. We went through a pretty difficult time in terms of trying to make that happen. Health and safety have to be a priority, but we also know that if we can find a way to make things as normal under this normal that we can for kids, in the long run, it's in their best interest from an academic standpoint, but even more so from a mental health standpoint and a relationship standpoint. So I think, like the doctor just said, we have to find a way to work in this new normal and do the things that we know are right for kids.
Later, I want to talk to you about how our students are faring academically post the first quarantine. But as you take a look at other cities around the nation, maybe making the decision to go virtual for a few days, what do you make of that? Is that something that you could ever foresee happening in Oklahoma again?
From the health experts. So there may be occasions where we have to see schools go in and out, but maybe not under the same circumstances we saw in the early pandemic stage, where all schools were shut down. And we tried to make everything fit the same for every student population. And we know we have rural schools, we have urban schools, and we have suburban schools. Settings are a little different. So I think that one of the things that we've talked about is a lot of this has to be locally decided within that community, with that school community and the wider community. So I don't see the broad type of brush like we saw in the past, but I do see schools having to evaluate what's happening in their community and in their schools and make the right decisions for those students.
All right, I want to switch gears now and come to Scott. Scott, I want to talk to you about politics. And one of the big things that people will be watching in the next year is a gubernatorial race right here in Oklahoma. Do you want to kind of update everyone about that?
I just don't think everybody's in that's going to be in. It's just a guess, but it's going to be an education election, and it's going to be an election based upon who handled COVID. I mean, if you were to ask me about what the best thing about last year and the worst thing about last year is we had the tools. We have had people make sacrifices, frontline workers, scientists, guys like Aaron Wendelboe, who've gone out there, done things heretofore unimaginable to give us tools to stop this pandemic. The worst part of it is about 40% of the people in this state and around the country simply are not being responsible. They don't want to be responsible. It's politics. And I look at some of this legislation being filed, I'm going, yeah, the elevator shaft goes to the 10th floor, but the elevator's not going all the way up. I mean, this is the most political virus in the history of the world. And right now people are angling to win primaries over it. It's a shame, but that's exactly what's happening. It's going to be an election, and at least half of it's going to be about how the pandemic was handled, state and local and federal.
So in Oklahoma, the measure of how COVID was handled might be different than it would be, say, in California or New York City.
Depends on what your primary voting base is saying. I mean, it literally is, what is your demographic? What is the voter base? You can have the same people, the same scientists, but if you have one party registration higher and lower than one place or the other, depends on what sort of positions you take. It is easy to observe what's been going on, and it really is pure politics.
So right now, the two standout candidates that I see are incumbent Governor Kevin Stitt and State Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister, who I must mention in transparency sits on the OETA board. You said you foresee others entering the race. Any ideas who?
I don't. You know, we go back to 86 when a guy by the name of Mike Turpin had the Democrat nomination all sold up. And just before filing, a guy named Walters filed. Up to that point was an unknown guy. There have been a lot of people in Oklahoma history that were not the front runners. In fact, front runner is not a great place to be in Oklahoma. But obviously, Superintendent Hoffmeister and Governor Stitt are odds on favorites to win the nomination in both of those parties.
Yeah, we're wondering about that. I know Superintendent changed her political party and will be running as a Democrat, and we'll see what happens in the primaries there. You know, the intersection of COVID through all of this is astounding, isn't it? COVID now colors everything. Dr. Wendelboe, you know, did you ever think that you would see something like COVID, and what challenges has it presented you, not only as a physician, as a doctor and a researcher, but as someone who's telling friends, family, us, everyone in the state, what we can do to handle it?
Right. We knew that there would be emerging pandemics. We just didn't know exactly what they would look like Influenza has always been the poster virus that we would study, but because of the emergence of SARS-1 and MERS, we certainly were keeping an eye on these coronaviruses. I would say that there were a couple things about this particular pandemic that caught me by surprise scientifically, which is that it was both highly transmissible and it caused this wide range of symptoms. You know, some people it's very severe and causes death, and then you've got a lot of people with asymptomatic infections. And so this wide range makes it very difficult to identify and trace people who are infected. But I would just segue that into the political discussion, is that it's that feature that makes it a very political virus. And that's because anyone who says the virus is very severe or it's not severe, in a very small corner of their world, they're right. And so, and sometimes as humans, we have a hard time trying to make amends when two things that seem opposing odds, when both can be true in a complex world. And so I think that we just need to have a more open discussion to say, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but there's another perspective.
One of the discussions that came up, Dr. Sayano, in the past year was whether or not to mandate masks for students at schools. And I know you talked about letting local localities determine what's done. Does the school board association, do you guys take a stance on this?
Our stand was really that these should be locally driven decisions, and any tools that could have made a difference in the ability for students to stay in school and teachers to be protected should have been made at the local level. And taking tools away during a pandemic is not what I would consider the best approach to way we could have dealt with this situation. And I also agree with Scott, you know, so much of this became politically driven, and with the variance of the way people did suffer through that pandemic, if they did have it, the variance there created a lot of difficulties at the school level. We've had issues and health issues that have impacted schools forever. This is not the first one. Obviously, it's totally different. And we were able to rely on our health officials to help us make those decisions that were right for students and right for the school district. It became really difficult to do that through this process because I think some of the things that Scott said.
Well, Tasha, let me ask you this really quickly. Since, as Scott said, this is a political virus, the first political virus in world history, even if a local school district wanted to require students to wear masks, that would not go over very well, would it? And B, has any local school district in Oklahoma done this?
Well, I think Oklahoma City Schools basically required masks in their process. They did have one or two exception opt-outs. So there have been school districts that have done it, but again, I go back to that local board, that local administration working with their community and their health providers in that community have to make a decision, and they should have the ability to make that decision. And I'm not saying either one of those would be popular. There would be unpopular decisions that would have to be made, but we still believe it should have been made at the local level with every tool that should have been available.
This is the issue, isn't it, Scott? Especially in Oklahoma. I mean, if you give the option, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, if you give the option, I think a certain option is pretty well known that's going to be taken. Is that correct?
I think so. And, you know, I would take you back, Susan, to where we're at 2 years. We're entering year three. I mean, we were talking about this now 3 years, 2 years ago. We're into the third year of this. And for example, if when the CDC came out very early on and said, not everybody needs to have masks, it's game over after that. And they, whatever reason they did, the CDC, I've been doing my Monday night show for 2 years. None of the doctors like what the CDC says. They're having problems right now. How are you going to unite people when the CDC can't get their messaging together? Had the vaccine been available in May of 2020, it'd been 90% uptake. Okay. The problem with the vaccine came along for general use after the election, and it became very clear that one side was going against the other side because they were for vaccines. The fact is that the political virus is loose. Like people see two weeks ago when former President Trump said, hey, vaccines work. You cannot believe. You've all seen the pushback he got. So the virus that has been let loose on the virus, the political virus, it's not coming back. People still think that there were 55 people helping Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas in 63. Once these rumors get going, this sort of stuff, it ain't coming back. And the only thing that's really changed, in my opinion, over the last 6 months was the day that the FDA said the Pfizer vaccine has full approval. Okay. So at that point, it was private businesses saying, you're going to get vaccinated. This is how you're going to behave. And that's what has changed things. And every time we see a variant come out, we see a little increase. But let's face it, the unvaccinated have been a drag on this. Aaron Wendelboe will tell you, we're going to, as long as we have this group out there where that virus can go have their parties every 4 or 5 months, as he says, we're going to live this with this forever. And we're going to live with this because there are people who just simply got into this cult of deniability whenever it's very clear for at least 90% of the people in this country ought to be vaccinated.
Well, Scott, you know the legislature. Do you foresee any plans coming out of this next session to address certain issues surrounding the virus, surrounding education and the virus? And I know there is more going on than just the virus, but as I said, it seems to color everything. So what do you see being the strong points, the concerns of the legislature?
Well, there'll undoubtedly be some pushback. There'll be some legislators proposing legislation to push back on federal overreach. You know, there are code words for that. So they'll be moving forward. Medicine has been having some difficulty reaching legislators, going, these are the smart things you need to do. And it started, you know, the vaccine issue started before COVID, when we were dealing with the issues a few years ago. We started seeing measles outbreaks and things like that. But this one just turbocharged it. And so we have seen there is a real split, at least with Republicans, between the old guard, which is pro-science, get vaccines, versus this group which are introducing legislation that 20 years ago you'd go, that's what liberal Democrats would introduce. No, you can't tell a business what to do. It's really, Susan, very strange to watch.
Well, I have so many more questions that I didn't even get to. I apologize to our producer, but our time is running out. So we're going to have one last round robin question. And Dr. Slayano, I'm going to start with you. What's just one prediction for 2022? Put on your prognosticator hat. What's your one prediction for 2022 within your realm?
I really see that we're going to settle down into a new normal. We'll still keep a priority on health and the health and safety of students, but we really have to get back also and focus on those academic needs. A lot of the federal funds that have flowed into schools, which have been very beneficial, have been really focused on those things. How do we work on kids' academic preparation, get them caught up, that acceleration that they need, the health ability by hiring nurses and those type of facilitators. And then we've seen a real investment in counselors and addressing the mental health issues. So try to get back in as normal as we can. I also will say one thing about the schools. I think that through this process, we have a better handle on how to do virtual education. It moved us forward in that area. So I think if we can begin putting all those tools together, we can try to create that ability for students to have a successful and normal as possible school year.
That sounds very optimistic. I like that. Dr. Wendelboe, are you as optimistic?
I am optimistic. I would also just encourage us as a society to maybe change our focus from talking about COVID cases to COVID hospitalizations and deaths, because as we are seeing the emergence of these new variants, and in the context of the political nature, I believe we might find more common ground if we decided that we wanted to try and prevent hospitalizations and deaths, because that's also a consistent, harder endpoint that the vaccine just continues to really prevent And so I think that even though we'll continue to see these ups and downs of cases, I think we'll get closer as we talk about that word of going into an endemic stage. I think we'll see that in terms of COVID-related deaths and hospitalizations before we see it necessarily in terms of cases.
Interesting. Good take. And Scott, ever the optimist, what are your predictions for 2022?
In the short term, I think the interesting thing is going to be watch the legislative session. I think there are statesmen and women of both parties out there that are in between some really extremist sort of thought out there on the wellness side, on one side, hating vaccines, you know, drink, you know, yogurt juice and things like that. And then you got the ones on the far right that are saying that there are Bill Gates has chips implanted, but that's a lot of people on those two extremes out there judging from the polling. So they've got to do what's best in terms of health is concerned, but they have to walk a very fine line because there is some really unhinged rhetoric that is getting some mainstream play. And the statesmen and women are going to have to be very careful. Plus it's an election year, making it much more difficult to get things done.
Yes. I would like to thank all of you. I wish we had more time to talk, but thank all of you for your time and for your insights. And I wish you all a happy 2022.
Thank you.
Happy 2022.
Support independent journalism in Oklahoma. Donate at oeta.tv/podcast. That's oeta.tv/podcast. From OETA, Oklahoma's home for public television.